Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We hope you find it has meaning and relevance for your life. And now may you be blessed as you hear the reading of God's Word.
I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned for me, but had no opportunity to show it. Not that I am referring to being in need, for I have learned to be content with whatever I have. I know what it is to have little, and I know what it is to have plenty. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being well fed and of going hungry, of having plenty and of being in need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. In any case, it was kind of you to share my distress. You Philippians indeed know that in the early days of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you alone. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs more than once. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the profit that accumulates to your account. I have been paid in full and have more than enough. I am fully satisfied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will fully satisfy every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The friends who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those of the emperor's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
People have been commenting on my shirt. This is a bit of a costume for the day. We're going to go trekking. You pray with me. Dear and gracious God, may the words of my mouth, may the meditation and the inspiration in all of our hearts and thoughts be acceptable in your sight. For you, O Lord, are our strength and our Redeemer. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. This is the last Sunday of our summer project called A Life Worth Living. We've been at this for 9 weeks. Now, those of you who've been part of Sunday school classes that have been studying these or other small groups, we have been on a 9-week pilgrimage, a journey together with 9 road stops along the way as we have been studying Paul's letter to the Philippians. It's been our summer project. This is part of the Alpha program. This has been the map for many of us. The sermons at least have been taken from the scripture lessons of each week. And heard several positive things from you, of those of you who like the coordinated work together of Sunday mornings, worship, as well as enhancing that with the study as well. But this is the last Sunday. We're moving on to other things. And so because of that, I thought it might be somewhat helpful, and even though it's going to be a bit daunting, to kind of retrace our steps and to look back and do a quick little review of where we've been. We've been on a journey together, and so it's good from time to time, if we've traveled together, to look back together and see where we've been. And so that's the plan. Now, the idea of this is to take somewhat of an imaginary pilgrimage journey and use a contemporary pilgrimage site. For centuries and centuries, the Christian church has had 3 particular pilgrimage destination sites, the first being Jerusalem, the second being Rome, the third being a very interesting place, the Cathedral of St. James, that is in the city of Santiago de Compostela in northern Spain. To this day, hundreds and hundreds of pilgrims each year take this 900-mile walk in pilgrimage to the Cathedral of St. James. We're going to do it in about 20 minutes. And we're going to cover the 9 milestones or destination spots along the way. So I indulge your patience. For those of you who have not been on this journey with us together, and this is your first time, you're going to get the essence of the letter of Philippians all in one fell swoop in a 9-point sermon. So hold on to your seats. We'll get there quickly. So this is the trek. This is the journey. It starts in southern France. This contemporary pilgrimage to the Cathedral of St. James. It starts in the town of Le Puy in southern France and travels across the Pyrenees through northern Spain. Now, recently there was a movie that came out highlighting this particular pilgrimage. It stars Martin Sheen. And I thought I'd show you just a little clip of the movie just to get you in kind of the spirit of where we're going. This is the trailer to the movie. You might think that I'm trying to promote the movie, but I don't have a problem with promoting. It's a very inspirational film. But it is about pilgrimage, what it means to be together on a common journey. So real quickly, the trailer to the movie The Way.
Daniel? Something happened to Daniel?
He was walking the road to Santiago de Compostela, 800 kilometers on the coast of Spain.
You're another pilgrim, are you? A trekker.
I'm here on family business.
Come on, a father-son trip. It'll be fun.
Most people don't have the luxury of just leaving it all behind.
Well, I'm not most people.
We're going to walk the Camino to Santiago.
We?
Both of us.
People have walked the path for over 1,000 years.
I'm Jack from Ireland.
Tom, California.
I'm from Amsterdam.
That's right. I love this guy.
It wears off quick, I promise.
The Way is a very personal journey, Mr. Avery.
You said you were on family business.
I am.
That box with the ashes.
My son.
Just because I'm losing.
What was your son like?
Daniel was a lot like you. Smart, confident,
awful stubborn. Lot.
Doesn't mean I'll stop.
There's no mystery why I'm doing this trick. Would make my doctor and my wife a bit happier.
Just because I'm losing.
So what is it, on pilgrimage to change your life?
Something like that.
Oh, no!
I don't choose a life, Dad. You live one.
Okay, off we go. Paul says, "For it is God who is at work in you and me, enabling us both to will and to work for his good pleasure." The realization that on life's journey together as we go through life, we do not do it alone. God is with us. And for us to continue to keep that in our minds. God is with us. Off we go. Our first milestone is a new heart on our journey. The journey of the Christian life is to become a new creation in Christ Jesus, a new heart. We begin the journey with great expectations and wonderful hope, filled with joy and the sharing of the journey. Those are two key principles that highlight this particular letter that Paul writes to his beloved friends in Philippi. I thank my God every time I remember you constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you because of your sharing in the gospel from this first day until now. This particular passage highlights two very important features of the letter. First is the sense of joy that permeates the entire letter. Paul is overjoyed by remembering this church that he loves so dearly, who is so fond of him. And so the word joy over and over comes back in this letter. We hear it often. And the other key word in the passage is the word sharing. Now the Greek word for this sharing word, you may be familiar with, it's called koinonia. It means fellowship. It means common communion. It means what it means to be the tie that binds strong together, the strong bonds of being partners with God and partners with one another. And this word also is very much a part of the letter. We share with one another the glories of God, and in that we find joy. Our second milestone is a new purpose. Our Christian life gives us a new focus, a new purpose. The destination is always ahead of us. It will always be ahead of us. The important thing for all of us is to know that we're on the right road and that eventually we will get there. But just knowing we're on the right road is enough to keep us motivated and clear-headed and knowing that eventually we'll arrive. Paul says, I know that I will remain and continue with you for your progress and joy in faith, so that I may share abundantly in your boasting in Christ Jesus when I come to you again. This passage introduces a new feature, a third feature of this letter that permeates the whole thing. This idea of progress. This idea that God takes us as we are but does not leave us there. We are continually growing in our faith. We are continually striving to deepen our understanding of God, deepen our love for one another, our love for Christ. God does not leave us alone. We are continually progressing, growing, developing, maturing in our faith. The idea of joy continues as we continually walk on this journey of faith together. C.S. Lewis is one of the great exponents of Christian joy in the 20th century, helping us to fully understand what it means, Christian joy. And what it means for him is this. Christian joy is not something that we can possess. It's not something that we can hold on to and grab and keep and preserve, put in a box. Christian joy comes to us in fleeting moments. And when it comes, we know it. There's this sense of a transcendence that is an experience that just in the moment brings us this sense of delight. It's incomplete, but it gives us a hint of the true glory which will be revealed to us in Christ ultimately. And so we cherish these moments of delight, these little glimpses of heaven, these glimpses of the kingdom of God. Sometimes they can be a memory of the smile of a child, or the memory of a beautiful sunset that overtakes us and overwhelms us. The moment when a longtime friend pops into our lives once again, and the joy of recognition and of rememberings of good times past. These are delightful moments, moments of joy that grab us in the moment and then fleet away. They are also wantings and desires. God has put in each and every one of our hearts this sense of incompleteness, and there's a sense that we all know that. We long for completeness. We long, and when those little moments of delight and joy come to us, they're just a little another piece to remind us that we're not there yet, but we're on our way. We continue with life in a new attitude. This is when we introduced the writings of Viktor Frankl in his work called Man's Search for Meaning. Viktor Frankl was a Holocaust victim in World War II. He studied human behavior and human understanding in the midst of this dire and devastating circumstance. And he looked at the human enterprise and he saw that when everything has been taken away from you, there is one thing that remains. It is the purest gift. It is the ultimate freedom that you and I all have. And he says it this way, everything can be taken from a man or a woman, but one thing, the last of human freedoms, to choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances, to choose one's own way. This small piece of free will that gives us the power in any particular circumstances to have a mindful way of thinking. To choose one's attitude. With our Christian life becomes responsibilities, new priorities in life which direct our life in new ways. We are very conscious that we're on the road. We are on the right road. The destination lies before us. And yet, we have responsibilities to self and one another. In our particular lesson, you may remember this story that was in the book about Alan Redpath. Alan Redpath was a British Baptist preacher. But before that, for many, many years, he was an accountant in a very large British chemical company. He claimed to be Christian, but he was a marginal Christian, going to church from time to time whenever he felt like it. And then one day, a friend of his said, "Alan, is it possible to have a saved soul and a wasted life?" You know, a lot of things in this life have to do with timing. Some things happen to us. Some things we remember. Some things we take to heart simply because it's the time. It hits us in a particular time in our life. We may have heard it over and over and over again, but on this particular occasion, on this particular time, in this particular circumstances, it strikes the heart. That's what happened to Alan Redpath when his friend said this. Can you have a saved soul and a wasted life? For some reason, that went to the heart, and he could not get it out of his head. Everywhere he went, this phrase kept repeating in his head, "Saved soul, wasted life, saved soul, wasted life," until he could not contain it anymore. It overtook him, and he had to change the priority of his life and put Christ truly at the center of his life. Jesus says it this way: from everyone to whom much has been given, much is required, and from the one who much has been trusted, even more will be demanded. Along with this journey, Paul reminds us of what it means to be on this pilgrimage together. It's not a lone journey, and that is a very good thing. We're all a part of the journey together. We do not travel alone. We travel with good companions along the way. And that is the role of the church. If the church can't be a true companion for you on your journey, then something is not right. Now, David preached in the Celebration Hall on this particular Sunday, and he used as his illustration the movie It's a Wonderful Life, the story of George Bailey, who was about to commit suicide because he felt everything was lost, everything that he believed in was down the tubes, and he had nothing to live for. And just before he was jumped off the bridge, an angel comes to him to remind him, "George, just think about your life for a minute. All the people you have touched and all the people who have touched you. That we are not in this world alone, that we are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses who care and who love us." Our Christian life gives us a confidence, a new confidence, to persevere even in the midst when days are not sunny, when days are dark and rainy and dismal. And it seems very difficult to persevere and keep going. The destination seems so far away. And yet there is within the human heart this sense to persevere, to continue. I will make it one step at a time. Paul says it this way: "I'm confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ." This is one of my favorite passages. There are times when I do feel very overwhelmed. So much to do, so much on the plate, so much expectations. How will this ever be accomplished? How will I ever get through this? And then I'm reminded, the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion. One step at a time. Be patient. Take it one step at a time. New ambitions. This is when we talked about Eric Little, the Scottish Olympian, who was not expected to win the 440 race in Paris in 1924. He refused to run his race, the one he was expected to win, which was scheduled to be on a Sunday, because he was dedicated to his faith. He refused to run on Sunday, and so he was had to run another race, which he was not all that prepared for or expected to win. But with the mind of Christ and with the perseverance of Paul, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us then who are mature be of the same mind. We press on for the goal of the prize of the heavenly call. Eric Little won that race, surprised the world, because he ran for the pleasure of God. New resources. Our Christian life together gives us particular resources to live our life faithfully, even in times of distress and struggle and trouble. Resources that provides us bridges over troubled waters and troubled relationships, that gives us the strength to seek and ask for forgiveness, that gives us the strength to offer forgiveness and love to others. Bridges that bring reconciliation in our relationships with others, to be also peacemakers and bridge builders for others and for others' relationships, and also to provide bridges over very troubled waters for people. Paul gives us this resource, right mindfulness, the right Christian mind. So whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, pleasing, and commendable, whatever is excellent, anything worthy of praise, these are the things to think about. This is Christian right mindfulness, of having the mind of Christ. So we're done. Today is new generosity, and new generosity is basically a wrap-up of all these other things, because a generous heart comes from all of these milestones that we have crossed in the last several weeks. New heart, new purpose, new attitude, responsibilities, friendships, confidence, ambitions, and resources. Abound with a generous spirit. And we have arrived at the Cathedral of St. James. This particular pilgrimage is over. And yet we pick up another, because life is a continual pilgrimage. And hopefully there has been something, a kernel, a thread, something in these past several weeks that you have taken to heart, that perhaps you will remember, and it will deepen your faith. Paul concludes, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. In any case, it was kind of you to share my distress. He's thanking the Philippian church for their generous gift that has been sent to them by Epaphroditus, who crossed the seas in a perilous journey, taking a large sum of money to Paul to aid him in his imprisonment. So one thing about koinonia, about sharing, the joy of it, are growing and developing in it. God does not leave us desolate. Growing in the mind of Christ, we share our life together, we share our life with God, and the Christian experience is we have koinonia with those outside these walls. When things happen in our country and around the world, we have a heart that is open. And we are mindful of the last couple of weeks of the things that happened in Aurora, Colorado, and how the community came together in koinonia, how the world and the United States, all of America, came together in prayers of koinonia to join heart to heart, mind to mind, with those who are in grieving and suffering. That is the true Christian spirit. If then there is any encouragement in Christ, Paul says, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete, he says, So be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and in one mind. That is his call to the church in Philippi, that it is call to us. Consolation from love, sharing in the Spirit of God, in a spirit of compassion and sympathy to one another, so that the joy of this place, the most joyful place on earth, is true, authentic, genuine, and real. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We invite you to join us in worship every Sunday morning at 9 and 10:30 in either our celebration service, which offers a blended worship style, or in The Bridge, which offers a contemporary and soulful worship style. For more information, visit our website, mysumc.org. Have a blessed day.